Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben, and I'm joined here by Brian to talk about episode 11 of Survivor 46. And, you know, less than 2 weeks before the finale, the season has gone by fast, but it's been a great ride so far. Hopefully finishes strong. I think the headline of the episode is it happened again three times in a row.
Yep. So, you know, like you said, it's gone by quickly, and I think it's because it's been so good. You know, when you're really enjoying something, time flies, and I've loved this season. I've loved how ridiculous it's become at this point of, so four people have been voted out with idols. And, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, did Tevin get voted out with his extra vote? Mm-hmm. So just four straight people eliminated.
Yeah. Random with medevac with his beware advantage.
Yep. So this is good. As far as I'm concerned, this is great because I'm not the biggest fan of, like, advantages and idols and, you know, all that stuff. So good episode.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as Venus found the idol, there was, like, a click in the back of my head, and I was like, there's no way it happens again. And it did.
Yeah, I thought, like, well, Venus probably won't get voted off. And, like, if she's going to get votes, people will probably tell her. No one's going to suspect she has an idol. I mean, Kenzie, like, has a long scene about how, like, Venus, she doesn't even look for the idols. Like, what's she doing out here? So I don't think anyone saw it coming, but they still blindsided her. And this is what I really miss Ponderosa. I mean, I miss Ponderosa generally, but, like, her coming back to Ponderosa and telling everyone that she had an idol in her pocket would have probably been a very fun moment of, like, no way, we also had idols in our pockets, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's especially because when she finds the idol, she, I think she was talking to, did she say it in the confession or did she say it to Kenzie talking about, like, I can't imagine what it was like.
Yeah, she said it to Kenzie.
Yeah.
Well, now she doesn't have to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
She's experienced it, and it has to be a bad feeling.
Yeah, that's what they call foreshadowing.
Yeah, never say stuff that can set yourself up for this stuff in Survivor. Mm-hmm. You know, like, never in the confessional be like, everything's going so perfectly, like, you know, everything's so smooth, because that will be used against you.
Yeah. I mean, like, even just in general, I think, like, you know, people talk about you have to be constantly paranoid in Survivor, and having that feeling of like, the second you feel comfortable and then, like, that things are going well for you is when, you know, you're probably going to get blindsided.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, like, I think it was Tyson talked about it on Rob Has a Podcast a while ago. Like, he was excited at the prospect of a winter season because playing with Aris had never been voted out. And you miss, like, the feeling of, you know, when it's about to come down on you. And I imagine, like, this has been felt very much now by the last few players. So it'll be interesting to see if any of them return and can redeem themselves for not playing their idols.
Yeah. I mean, look, yeah, we talked about it already when season 50 hype started, but, like, we're getting probably at least two or three people from the season, I would imagine.
Right. And you know what? At least you didn't get voted off with two idols. Lose that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Small solace, but it's something.
It could be worse. It could be worse, and it has been worse twice before.
Right. Oh, man.
At least you're not James or Kelly.
I know. Yeah, Kelly, people forget, but Kelly also two idols. And, you know, I mean, it's buried in a lot more from horribleness from that season. So I think people forget on purpose.
Yeah, I don't blame people as much for blocking out the details of Islands of the Idols from the break on purpose. So
yeah. So I guess, like, the biggest thing I took away from this episode is, like, Charlie is really good at Survivor, like to the point where it's like he's kind of running circles around people. And I'm just like waiting for the other shoe to drop, because it has dropped a lot this season where like a player's like positioned themselves well, you know, like Kenzie positioned herself well, Tiffany gets voted off. So now like Charlie positioning himself well, pushing Maria out there as a threat in front of himself, you know, pushing to everyone else that like, oh, Q and Maria, that's the real duo. Don't pay attention to the fact that Maria and I have been on the same tribe the whole game. It's Q and Maria now.
Yeah, well, that's kind of one of the main like questions I wanted to ask, because for me, this episode felt like the like Charlie coronation edit episode to me. Like I don't know,
16 confessionals in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's even more so than just like numerics. Like the entire structure of the game was basically completely reframed exclusively through his lens. Which like obviously makes sense, because he was like ostensibly the swing vote. Like obviously we know that at the tribal council it doesn't come down to like a split vote. It's like, you know, obviously Kenzie and Liz were filled in on the Venus blind side at some point. But you know, he's set up as the swing vote for the majority of the episode. But even basically taking last week's move in the episode, which was very seemingly promising for Maria, and just being like, oh, remember everything we told you last week about Maria? Well, actually, that's not good for Maria. And Charlie set it up the whole way to make her a target. And like, this is actually Charlie's story. It's like, okay, well,
right.
So now I'm basically going from, okay, so now Charlie and Maria are 1A and 1B for me. And it's like, okay, now I'm like very confident that Charlie is the winner.
Right. Yeah. No, agreed. And obviously, there's still a lot of game left to be played. Well, not that much game. We're at the final six now. There's 2 weeks, left. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next. We got some previews of Maria like freaking out. And I guess, do we want to talk about the etiquette of picking people to go on reward?
Right. I mean, this was like beyond Charlie being framed as this mastermind who orchestrated this entire like restructuring of the game. To me, this reward picking, I was going to say reward challenge, but it's actually a joint in the end reward. This reward picking scene for me was Maria like throwing a match on the remainder of her win equity.
Yeah, man. It is so unforced. Like, making people play rock, paper, scissors is some
it was deranged.
Sick shit. Yeah, it's deranging. Yeah. Perfect word for it.
it was like debasing, like just for no reason. Like these are people. Like you don't have to like you don't have to debase them just to like, you know, get your jimmies off. Like what is wrong? you're just pissing off three people who are going to be on a jury of eight. Why? Why? What's the purpose?
Yeah, I mean. Just so ridiculous. Yeah, just like, yeah, I don't know. That was so silly to me that she made them do that.
Yeah,
it went over very poorly, as we saw in the episode, as it should have. I mean, that was a foolish decision. But it's also like extra funny because she just doesn't realize in the moment how like shitty it is. So like she's getting like, you know, pushback from at camp, she's just like, well, you know, it's just a bad situation. And sure, but you made it so much worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how to react to that scene, because like as I was watching it live, like my jaw was on the floor. I could not believe a person did that on purpose.
Yeah, yeah, and like the biggest payoff of it for me is when we get to see the pizza. This is the worst Survivor pizza has ever looked.
There's a lot of competition for bad Survivor pizza. I don't know.
Yeah, but it looks like like when a kid gets a kitchen play place and there's a slice of pizza, like a plastic slice of pizza. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, the veggie pizza looked like it was just raw bell pepper slices on like a piece of cardboard.
I know, peppers and onions, one of the greatest like toppings you can add to pizza. And to make it look that unappetizing, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I tweeted it last night, like, Survivor, I have a lot of pizza experience. I'll come out. I don't understand how this is happening. Like, pizza's easy to, you know, easy to make. On good authority, lots of people who I made lots of pizzas with were incredibly not sober while doing it, and they made it just fine. Don't understand what's happening in Fiji.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, we've heard from Survivor players basically all the way back to the start of the show. It's pretty much been a universal in 25 years that Survivor has been on that the pizza is always horrible. So,
and tell me there's not a Domino's in Fiji. There's not at least I am not a pizza elitist. I'll eat Domino's. I know people don't think it's that great, but like, at least people who don't like it have to admit, like, Domino's pizza at least looks better than what they're serving on Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I genuinely don't know, Ben. I don't know how it's that bad.
They could have just done Applebee's too, you know, double their money. But they, you know, Applebee's got like, you know, Applebee's already got two episodes worth of sponsorship from the last episode, so.
It's crazy. Yeah, sure, they can make Applebee's look like how it looks in America. There, they can't make pizza look like anything.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, is there Applebee's in Fiji? Like, where the fuck is this Applebee's coming from?
Like, yeah, I don't know.
are they ordering Applebee's in LA and then like flying it 14 hours to Fiji and then just like reheating it?
I like to think that Applebee's is sending like a chef like out there with all the correct ingredients and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is huge. You can't mess it up. You got to make the bourbon burger look perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's like,
and it worked, really, because I saw so many people on Twitter this last week who went to Applebee's.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, When the tagline of the episode was like, Applebee's is so good that if you don't get it, you'll have a mental breakdown.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's like beautiful 21st century marketing.
Yeah. And, you know, Liz got from it last episode and then again in this episode, just humiliated, you know. Yeah.
Paper covers rock.
Yeah. Oh man. So there's that. I liked the immunity challenge, actually. I thought it was very fun. Another unique version of that snake path thing that they do.
Yeah, I mean, it was like one of the closest immunity challenges in probably the modern era. And you know, I think this is like definitely a step in the right direction. I think we've talked earlier in the season, like that the challenges this season have been a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
In general. And yeah, like, you know, we've complained about them overusing endurance challenges in the individual phase of the game recently. So this is a good kind of balanced challenge. Like, anybody could have won this. Like, as we saw, like, literally any of them could have won at any point. Really good challenge.
No, agreed. Let's see what else in this. Like you said, this is really Charlie's coming out party. Huge night for Charlie. Very excited for him. Trying to think about, I guess, like, Kenzie. She had an okay episode. She was like the other big narrator, like trying to come back from Tiff. And I think it's very funny. Like, she's like not sad that Tiff got voted off. She's sad that she didn't get to do it herself. And it's like, okay, people need to chill about these resumes. You know, moves. Like, come on. Tiff going out is not good for your game, Kenzie.
Yeah, I mean, you could even see the way that Charlie is setting this up, which is, in my opinion, just like a better version of what Kenzie was trying to do, where he started at 8 and 7 planting the seeds of Maria being a target to, like, shield him so that Maria could get taken out at, like, either next week or at five, like 6 and 5, which is a perfectly good time for Maria to get taken out for Charlie. You know, he has like a one round buffer before he's into the fire baking challenge. And he has the social connections to make it work. That to me is the ideal time to like take out an ally who you think is a threat to you. But after what Maria just told, I don't even know if Charlie needs to really go out of his way to take her out at this point. I think he probably just beats her in a final three.
Right. And, you know, also he's probably the most likely to win immunity on each of these immunities going forward. So, yeah, it's very impressive stuff from him.
Yeah, let me talk about Venus. Let's talk about the Venus scene with Charlie.
Okay.
The pivotal scene of the episode, right? So like, I think that's where I think Charlie was 50-50 probably for a lot of this round as to what he was going to do. I think this was the moment, at least from the storytelling. Obviously, we're extrapolating based off of what we know. This seemed like the moment where his decision was made up that he had to vote out Venus.
Yeah, and like she was doing so well, not telling anyone about her idol. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no reason for her to imply anything was going to happen at Tribal Council. If anything, she should have been downplaying anything possibly happening. She should have just been like, this is such a good plan. It's totally going to work 100%.
Yeah, but, I also don't know why she was being so cagey about like who the final four would be when there's like four people presumably that are going to be voting together. Yeah. You know, two of those four people are Liz and Venus, who have like a combined chance of like -1% to win the game.
Right.
Like, this is like a beautiful final four for Charlie if like he can trust it. Like pretty much the only person who was any sort of threat to him in that final four would be Kenzie. So I don't know. I think like, you talk about with Maria, unforced error. This with Venus, unforced error. I don't know.
Yeah, not a lot of good survivor, you know, playing happening. But that's what we expected and quite frankly wanted out of this group.
Yeah, when arguably Q is the second best player of the episode, you kind of, you know, you're really kind of playing around with fire.
Yeah. And Q, you know, he's winning. I don't know if you've seen, he's winning on Cameo lately. He's just tearing it up, making so many cameos, climbing the leaderboards. Like, you know, if you can't win Survivor, I guess that's the next best thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, he's like, he's on Survivor 50. He's like probably, like, I don't know, man. Like, if he's not on Survivor 50, I will be shocked. I think the only way he isn't is if, like, there's some catastrophic universal, you know, situation that happens between now and then. Yeah, he gets that as well.
Yeah, I did like him too when I was like, plead your case. And he was like, I've lost some weight, I guess. Like, I don't really, just bring me or not. I don't know.
Yeah. How many, he ate, what, 23 slices of pizza or something like that, you said?
Yeah, I can't even imagine what his stomach was like after that.
Yeah, talk about bloating.
Yeah, after not eating, like, carbs and sauce and cheese and stuff. Not ideal. I was thinking about that last night. I was like, I don't even know if I'd want to win pizza, gluten-free or not.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with a lot of these survivor rewards is, like, you kind of you have to pace yourself on them, otherwise they'll often do more harm than good.
Yeah, Liz, was it Liz or Venus? One of them was like, he hasn't even finished digesting Applebee's. Hilarious.
Yeah. So I guess the other thing I wanted to talk about was, do you think Kenzie made a blunder here by not tipping off Venus and trying to keep her?
I don't, well, I think if she knew Venus had an idol, she may have done it. I don't know. I think it's going to be a hard road for Kenzie to make it to the end regardless. I guess if Venus is still there, makes it a little easier. I don't know. I mean, I guess they were like by default, like a pair. Well, what does that mean to Kenzie? Clearly nothing. She wanted to take Tiff out.
Yeah, well, I just... like you said, I don't know if I see a path for her now. Like, I think she kind of like pissed away her runway.
Yeah.
And like, you know, obviously we have, you know, omniscience. So we know that she has an idol, or Venus is an idol, and obviously Kenzie didn't. But like, what does it hurt to like tip Venus off? You know, yeah. Like, are they going to flip it on Kenzie? Like, if that somehow happens, you know, at least you kind of went out swinging. Like, I don't think that's likely. So like, there's just no downside, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the downside would be Venus plays her shot in the dark, and then like we saw here, Ben throws a rogue vote on Kenzie in case that happens. So yeah. But in that case, like,
they're both be voting together, yeah, seemingly.
So yeah, then then theoretically you get one or two votes on Q, and then theoretically you would win on the revote. I guess depending on where Charlie goes. That kind of puts Charlie in a worse spot too. Yeah, so I think either way it's really bad for Charlie. So yeah, I just don't see any downside to like to Kenzie quietly going along with this plan.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think like it worked out, not maybe long term, but you know, financial analyst Emily Flippin, she tipped off her ally, and it was a fun moment, and maybe kept some heat off her for a little while,
mm-hmm.
You know. And now in this point of the game too, having one person who you're with is more important than at the final 12, you know. Like in last season, the final six, it would take everyone else to vote against you for it to not work. So yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from saying that this was kind of a foolish, like just go along with the plan type of a thing. Cause like eventually it's probably going to be Kenzie who's the plan maybe next.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's probably like 50-50 that it's Kenzie next. Like, yeah. You know, she has to at this point convince both Charlie and Ben to turn on Maria now, which I think is even a harder sell. Like maybe she can pull it off. She has this relationship with Ben that's kind of been on the back burner, it seems, for a while, and Charlie definitely seems primed for it. So like maybe she's able to pull that off, but then at that point she's still ceded so much leeway to Charlie and Ben by default as well. That like if she gets to the end, it's not by her own merit. Like she'd just be kind of falling into a final three.
Yeah, I know, definitely agree there. I guess it's like it's kind of hard because it's like, all right, if Kenzie's not winning now, like we feel like she has a less chance, we're pretty confident Q doesn't win, you know, holding out small bit of hope for my winner pick, but not counting on it. Ben probably also doesn't win.
Yeah.
Liz, I would be surprised if she wins. Maria is tanking her game, so it really is just like, I guess Charlie is like the one left.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think at this point it's Charlie's game to lose, both from like a positioning perspective strategically and socially, and also from an edit perspective.
Yeah, he's just like the one person who we haven't seen tank their game in the edit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess Ben, but we haven't seen Ben like this season.
Yeah, Ben to me is like the Kara K edit where they make the final fire making challenge loser completely invisible so that people don't get mad that they lost in a really scummy way.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's something that would be interesting to track too. The final four fire making challenge loser, what have their added spend throughout the years? Cause I do think that there is something to that. You know, 41. I literally cannot even remember her name.
Heather.
She's just not in the season.
Yeah. And like Kara K is in the, you know, one that came to mind, Angela in Ghost Island. Like, you know, who else?
Um, It's either like you brutally like Fallen Angel, like
yes, like Devin's.
You were gonna win Devin's. I would say Sarah Lucina to a Devin. A degree. Devin. Yep, very
yeah, Jesse, obviously.
Jesse, yeah.
Yeah, so those are the two different. I agree with that. This is the two options. They're like the person who should have won, and they get like this huge like Fallen Angel edit, or they're completely wiped invisible.
Yeah. So I think there's stick a pin in that, all the listeners, for Ben being the fire making loser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of 50-50 too, because Carson as well kind of fits that mold.
Yeah. No. Definitely. I mean, listen. Can have a lot of feelings about Carson post game. He was the fallen angel of Survivor 44.
Yeah. So, yeah.
See.
Anything else we have from this episode? Because it's like this episode felt like there was a lot, but there was also like because it just kind of felt like a continuation of the last two episodes. And we're just kind of throwing our hands up like, is it gonna happen a fourth time? Like I don't know what else to say at this point.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, it's like there were a lot of, how to put this, there weren't a lot of big moments, but there was a lot of time dedicated to the moments. Yes. So it felt very big. One, you know, Twizzlers, how we feel about Twizzlers at Tribal Council.
Okay, I think Jeff is kind of, like, you know, nailing the bit into the cross, you know.
Yes.
He's being a dead horse here a little bit. Like, the popcorn the first time was good, but yeah, now he's feeling himself a little bit too much.
Yeah. What do you think about Ben equally distributing the Twizzler to everybody but taking a bigger piece for himself? I feel like that's what he did, and I don't hate it. I respect it almost.
I mean, if I couldn't tell because it was very dark. So if he did do that, then good for him. I mean, I personally, I don't even know if I would want a fragment of a Twizzler if I'm starving. That would make me hungrier.
Right. I agree. But yeah, it was a little Jeff Winger not having to get the pizza from Ben there.
Yeah.
What else? People had a lot of feelings about Liz eating the Twizzler because those have gluten in them. What's the truth there, Liz?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know either. I would say I'm a big fan of Twizzlers. Like them a lot.
Yeah, no, Twizzlers are probably in my like top five or so candies. Yeah,
great movie candy. Like, so I respect that Jeff brought out the Twizzlers. I thought it was funny, but like you said, if we get one more, if he comes out with, I don't know, a giant Coke or something. It's like, all right.
You get snow caps and an icy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
It's just snow caps into the popcorn, you know, mixes it up.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I've loved the season so far. I'm optimistic for the future. I've also really enjoyed seeing a ton of survivors I've never seen on social media before in my life start tweeting and going to functions and stuff after season 50 was announced. That's very fun.
Yeah, it's the upside, I guess, of a large returning player season being announced is everyone pretends like they've been engaged in the community for years just to like try to get a call back. They're like, hey, production, remember me? I exist, you know?
Yeah.
I'm getting on Twitch streams and like doing, you know, games with friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's very fun. There are some where it's just like, you just gotta look yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself about this. Like, the call isn't coming.
I mean, look, there's even like the most epic of returning player seasons on Survivor, there's usually like 2 to 3 people where you're like, why the fuck are they on this season? So like,
that's fair.
That could be you. That could be you, random person who everyone forgot existed until they were announced on 50.
Yeah, who's your pick for the most like out of left field potential returner?
I don't know. I feel like I don't know. You have one? Do you have like a pick for somebody Because I feel like it would have to be somebody semi-recent.
Right. But I think it'd be funny because, like, you know, they always like to go, like, way back into their past.
Yeah.
Usually with the first or second season, admittedly. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, what if someone like Alex Bell from, like, Amazon just randomly on season 50?
I think I sent you my my 50 cast list that I was putting together. I think I had Alex Bell on my cast list. So
I'd be down to see him play again. I don't know.
He's definitely somebody who has kind of been forgotten. Like he was forgotten even at the time. I would say.
Yeah.
But right. Definitely an underrated player. And probably like one of the favorites to win that season if Rob didn't kind of turn the game on its head.
Yeah, and he married Lindsay from Survivor Africa. Like that's.
He married Kim Powers.
Whoops.
Wrong woman from Survivor Africa. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. My bad, Kim Powers.
We're comparing her to Lindsay.
That was fucked up of me. Yeah. I shouldn't have done that. I pictured Kim Powers in my mm-hmm. mind, and I said Lindsay. So hopefully that's a little better. Jesus Christ, I'm bad. I think you know that could be something interesting. You know, like when Jervis came back.
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, okay, like a Pagong member coming. That's fun. You know, before that, it was just Jenna Lewis, right?
Yep, just Jenna. And then after we had. That's actually it. That's only Pagong's that have come back.
Yes. Her and Jervis.
Yep.
They never brought, what was her name? The Merge Boot?
Gretchen.
Yeah, never brought Gretchen back.
Nope.
Could have been a good one, I feel like, because.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about. What's that?
I don't know how tapped in she is to Survivor these days.
Hopefully not that tapped in.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel like she was the first like holy shit boot in the history mm-hmm. of Survivor.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because she was like a lot of people's like early winner pick in the first few episodes.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be the one to say it. If they can. Scrounge up Colleen Haskell out of nowhere. That would be pretty crazy.
That would be so ridiculous.
Yeah.
The last Pagong, mm-hmm. as she said. Which is like everyone else is extinct or something. I don't know. She had like a funny line.
Yeah. Well, they had Target and Sitting Duck, so they brought one back. They got to bring the other back.
Oh, man. But yeah, I really do hope they go deep into their bag and bring some, like, mm-hmm. out-of-the-box casting. But, I mean, we know that it's just going to be, like, so recent season heavy.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, makes sense. Like, I think, you know, if you're a future Survivor listening to this, go on Survivor. Have a good time. Don't let it define you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit up waiting for Jeff Probst to call you back for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know what the statistics are, but it's probably like, what, 10 to 15% of Survivor players return? Like, you know, you can't go on Survivor with the expectation you're going to play a second time. So, like, mm-hmm. One, try to win the first time and don't play for a return.
Oh, we're about to have a few seasons of people playing so hard.
Well,
for a spot on Survivor 50.
47's already filmed, right? Or has it not?
Ooh,
they leave before or after it was announced?
That's a good question that I'm not sure about.
Yeah. 48 and 49, though. There's going to be for sure a lot of handing up.
Yeah. So those are going to be like probably the biggest like variant seasons because it's like no one's going to be safe. Nobody's going to be playing conventionally. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be taking these huge swings. So like, I don't even know how to like predict winners for those.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to know my out of left field pick that I actually think is realistic? Yeah, I think that Jeff wants to bring back Jelinski.
But
I think we might have three returnees from 46, and one of them is Jelinski.
Yeah, I'm down. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was someone who I enjoyed watching, like the Get to Know You videos. Where I was like, "Oh, he's fun, quirky job, slot machine salesman. That's like interesting. Mm-hmm. Has a Survivor slot machine in his house. Like that's, I don't know. That was cool. And then, yeah, Survivor 40 several, as he said, next season will be mm-hmm. at the final several.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
long live Jelinski, man. I'm down.
I mean, we had now two-time winners. We have to have a second two-time first boot, I think.
Yeah, and when you vote him out, you have to like either say or write on your parchment, long live Jelinski.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. So good luck to everyone on the next few seasons of Survivor. If you get voted off, it might not even be your fault. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be playing their idols the second they find them. And yes. Everyone's going to be making big unnecessary moves to try to get on season 50. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
pretty chaotic, I think we're going to get for at least two. I don't know if it'll affect 47, but I think it'll at least affect 48 and 49.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, I think we stretched this one as much as mm-hmm. we could. Anyways, anything you want to promote? Where can they follow you? Floor is yours.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Ben Sharon for my three tweets a month. At maximum probably. I didn't give my opinion on the finale of UBCAN 12, I won't go too deep into it. I don't want to like do super spoilers, but I think that the result was as I expected. I think the winner is the person who I thought had the most win equity at the final five, that's kind of where I'll leave it.
All right. Yeah, I don't want to say anything either. Like you said, don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched it yet. But other than that, you can follow me on Twitter at TheFakeBMarr, BMARR. Got a new video coming out tomorrow on the main channel, Wiki Good Everything. And this is Better Radio, our podcasting channel. Make sure you also check out our sports channel, which is, we should be having more videos come out, but everyone's very busy with life. It's crazy. Everyone has jobs and responsibilities. Makes it tough to record that, but we're here and consistent. I've loved this season of Survivor. I can't wait to podcast about it each week.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure you're probably get something out there. We have two Boston sports teams making playoff runs right now, so
it's just scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we'll see there. But other than that, thank you so much for listening and watching, and we'll see you in the next one.